Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, a subject of perennial controversy, put his prisons on lockdown last month after being faced by a hunger strike by inmates. The man who likens himself to America's toughest sheriff called an end to the lockdown a day after the Goldwater Institute accused Arpaio of improperly clearing criminal investigations and reporting faulty statistics to the FBI as a result. The criticism follows an earlier claim by the Institute last December that Arpaio's prioritization of high-publicity immigration sweeps were undermining traditional law enforcement, despite the fact that Arpaio has faced numerous lawsuits and even a federal investigation for racial profiling. The Maricopa County Sheriff has appeared prominently in the corporate media as a spokesperson on immigration. According to a new report in Extra, the magazine of the media watch group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has appeared on cable news television 21 times over the past year. CNN has accounted for 17 of those invitations. Conversely, the report also notes that as Sheriff Arpaio has been a frequent guest on cable news television, the voices of those who are directly affected by his policies have been woefully missing. My guest this morning is the writer of the article in Extra called Arpaio versus Immigrants, Ara Bogado, freelance journalist, a familiar voice here on KPFK. She's the former anchor of FSRN. Welcome to Uprising, Ara.
Thanks, Sonali. It's great to be here.
So first, before we talk about the media coverage that you studied and the research that you did, let's talk about Arpaio himself. There might be listeners out there who've never heard of him. He's very notorious, however, and for people who are sort of watching what happens in immigration circles, his work in Arizona has become sort of a symbol for how ridiculous some of the policies we see playing out in this country have become. Talk about his immigration sweeps, these saturation sweeps that he does, and how he is basically targeting people simply on the color of their skin.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in Maricopa County. And, you know, I will add that I interviewed Arpaio as well, and he does sort of rub off as this very affable, kind of like an uncle. Sort of a crazy uncle that a lot of people kind of have. And he's kind of like this media darling, you know. And what's been happening in Arizona under his watch, you know, he's been in office for 17 years now, 16, 17 years. And in the last couple of years, as you mentioned, he's turned his sights to immigrants. And what he does, what you mentioned, is the crime suppression sweeps. He calls them crime suppression sweeps, in which he sets up these massive operations in sometimes very small towns in the county. And he'll bring, you know, 200, 300, 400 officers and what he calls posse members, which are civilians who are often have ties to white supremacist organizations, to come and clamp down on a town. And
so he just deputizes civilians,
yes,
like vigilantes almost.
Exactly. He calls them his posse. And these people, you know, don't have the power to arrest, but they can, like anyone else, sort of do a citizen's arrest. And, you know, some of these people are affluent and have their own helicopters, for example, and will bring helicopters in. One tiny town that I spent time in was the town of Guadalupe, population around 5,000. It's a one square mile town. And there were about 400 officers that came in, and the helicopters that were used belonged to posse members.
You, when you were there in Guadalupe, you captured some sound that we'd like to play. Can you tell us what this first thing is that we're going to hear, an interview, I think, with one of the residents?
Yes. Aside from the way that undocumented people say that Arpaio is unfairly targeting them, there are plenty of brown-skinned people that are saying
that are citizens,
born and raised, many of them Native American, and it is this town Guadalupe, according to the census, it's half Native American and half Latino. And so we're talking about people that have more claims to this land than Arpaio or any of the deputies that are pulling them over. And one of them is Frank Lopez. He is has actually worked for the federal government before, loves America, loves what it's supposed to stand for. And I asked him to describe for me what a crime suppression sweep was like in his tiny little town.
I think for the most part there was deputies all over. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, there was helicopters flying over. This is a one square mile town. So there was helicopters over the community. There were SUVs, black SUVs. There were patrol cars going up and down. And somebody told me there was unmarked patrol vehicles also that were not marked, that were also police officers or law enforcement from the sheriff's department. they were just, you know, and then the two semi-trucks, one is a communication center, and I'm not sure what the other ones were, but he put them right there by the dollar store, set his tables up. They were all over. I mean, if somebody got pulled over, it wouldn't just be one patrol car, it'd be two or three of them.
And that's the voice of Frank Lopez, as captured by Auro Bogado when she went to Arizona to research this the actions of this man named Sheriff Arpaio, who has been featured many times in the mainstream media. Auro, this person that you talked to, how typical is the sort of backlash against Arpaio in Arizona? Is he sort of seen as this crazy man?
It depends on who you talk to. Depends what color skin they have. It very, very often depends what color skin they have. And, you know, in this town of Guadalupe, this tiny town, I couldn't find anybody that wasn't pulled over or didn't leave their house for fear of being pulled over.
Who were brown
mm-hmm. and documented, you know, or second, third generation or always generation, your original mm-hmm. Native American people. Yeah, I mean, people, I would say that people here described that, you know, this kind of terrorism that was going on. A lot of them also came out and protested, and some of them were, you know, pulled over for having kids jumping up and down in their car when there weren't any kids in their car. People were pulled over for jaywalking. We're talking about dirt roads where there isn't even a paved sidewalk. People pulled over for honking. And all these tickets were dismissed. This massive 48-hour sweep, hundreds of deputies, yielded 7 undocumented immigrants who were turned over to ICE.
So, Aura, now, in addition to the fact that Arpaio has been, by the Bush administration, allowed to get away with everything he has been getting away with for the past 8 years, it does remain to be seen what happens under Obama. In addition to that, he is also a darling of the media, and CNN in particular. What did your research find when you looked at how the media treats Arpaio and how they sort of treat him as an immigration spokesperson?
Right. Well, I chose to look at cable news specifically, but I could say a very similar argument all across the board, whether it's print or what have you. But for cable news in particular, as you mentioned, he was on 21 times during the span of the past year. 17 of those times he was on CNN. And the bulk of those times he was on Lou Dobbs, who, if listeners don't know, he's a, you know, chief immigrant basher on CNN. And as we move forward within this administration, as we move forward in the year 2009, and we talk about having comprehensive immigration reform, some type of immigration reform, you know, I really wrote this article because I feel like if we as Americans are to have this conversation, this debate about immigration, we need to have a fully informed debate. We need to hear from all sides. We need to hear from people like Frank Lopez, who says that people were being targeted because they were brown. We need to hear from undocumented immigrants. We need to hear from these people that are being the most affected. That's our jobs as journalists. And I was, yeah, I sort of had the suspicion, because it's a story I've been following for a while, and I tend to consume a lot of media around it. And when I really sat down and crunched out the numbers, This is not right. You know, like, take today, the top news story of today is GM filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy. This would be like the media not talking to GM, not talking to executives, not talking to the workers. The public would go crazy and say, what does GM have to say? What do immigrants have to say? At some point, we need to hear from the people that are the most affected before we can have a meaningful debate about this topic.
So in your research, how many times were immigrants talked to, if at all? did Arpaio have to debate somebody that he might have targeted or whose family he might have targeted?
He's never had to debate anybody. During my in the time that that I highlighted the study, which was the past year, immigrant voices were featured twice, both times on CNN, not on the Lou Dobbs show, however. The first time, you know, and I want to quote the anchor who says, quote, "We sat down with Sheriff Arpaio this week here. Well, we've been in Arizona, but we've also talked to a woman named Ruby who's in this country illegally and recently lost her job. Let's listen for just a second." And that's how much dignity they give this human being, this person that doesn't have papers, this person that is not covered in the media. And she says this very moving thing through a translator. She says, The reason I came here was to work and live with dignity. I don't understand why I have to show these documents. Cut. We hear her for just a second. We hear her for just a second. The other exchange that they have on another program is very similar. It's kind of two people that are unidentified, but we're supposed to believe, you know, that they're undocumented immigrants. And that's it. And that, to me, just doesn't give us the entire range of what it is we need to hear. And as I highlighted in my article, besides Arpaio, we also hear from activists, the bulk of which are very professionalized activists, some of which include people like Reverend Al Sharpton, who is no friend of undocumented immigrants. Sharpton's main accusation against Arpaio is these incidents of racial profiling. He basically says, well, I don't care about what's happening with immigrants. I care about people who are citizens who are being targeted. So again, it's not a very wide spectrum when it comes to these activists. And not to blame activists, because activists are doing amazing work in Maricopa. It's the journalists that really aren't getting out there and talking to the people that are most affected.
My guest is Aura Bogado, freelance journalist, whose article about the media coverage by CNN in particular of Arizona's very controversial Sheriff Arpaio was just published in Extra, the magazine of fairness and accuracy in reporting. It's called Arpaio versus Immigrants, Those Most Left Out of Debate. And we'll link to that article from our website later today at kpfk.org/uprising. Aura, you gave an example of what good journalism is, and that's the Phoenix News Times. And it's so often that local media tend to cover so much better a story like this. What is the example that Phoenix News Times has given to the country that should be the standard, if you will, for these sorts of conversations?
Yeah, I'm really excited that the New Times embarked on this. I should say that there is a writer at the New Times named Stephen Lemons, who's been doing some amazing sort of gonzo journalism. Mm-hmm. He has this great blog, but they did start a series recently which highlights people, you know, like I've been talking about, that say that they've been targeted. And this, the first one that they published less than a month ago, or maybe a month or two ago, highlights the Sanchez family, who I also found in Guadalupe, and, you know, sort of what they've been through, how they feel like they've been harassed. They're Yaqui, Native American. And I guess just from looking at them, you can't tell if they're Native American, you know, federally registered, are they Mexican? They're just brown people. And they're saying, look, we have been targeted and retargeted because we dared to speak out against Arpaio. And I'm thrilled that the New Times is actually is doing this and is actually going to highlight people that are the most affected.
And Aura, you are heading to Arizona yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you're embarking on? I also mentioned that you are the former anchor of Free Speech Radio News, which some people might be shocked to hear because they did hear you, your voice on Friday if they listened to Free Speech Radio News on other stations and on through the website. Unfortunately, KPFK doesn't play it in its entirety anymore. But tell us what you're doing with Beyond FSRN.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a very emotional day here on Friday because it was my last day with FSRN, and I've been with Pacifica for a really long time. But the Nation Institute was gracious enough to give me an investigative journalism reporting grant, and so I'll be going to Arizona talking to people at length who have been affected, spending time in churches, spending time in parks, spending time where real investigative journalists should be, you know, talking to people, again, who have been affected. I'll also be going to a couple of the detention centers that, that the immigrants are housed at, and I'm also going to be going to Mexico and following people who have been deported, because often in mainstream media we tend to think that the story of immigration somehow ends at the border. But it doesn't, because people are deported. And then I'll be actually going back to Arizona and seeing how, hearing and how these people's deportations have affected their communities.
And how can people follow your work? You're going to be writing about this. Free Speech Radio News, of course, is online at fsrn.org. But they should just look out for your publications?
Yeah, they should just look out. I'm going to be working on a few print pieces. And, you know, hopefully one day I'll be back here and joining you and talking about my next piece.
Absolutely. So Aura Bogado is going to be following this story of Sheriff Arpaio, as we've been discussing. And you can, again, read her article. You can go go to the FAIR website at fair.org and look at the latest issue of Extra, June 2009 issue, which has her article. And we'll also link it from our site later today at kpfk.org/uprising. Aura Bogado, my friend and colleague, I'm going to miss you very, very much. Thank you so much.
I'm going to miss you very much, Sonali. It's an emotional time this morning for me, too. And thank you for all the work that you do. And listeners, you know, I won't be here during this next fund drive, but I always encourage you to support this station and this program in particular, which always, you know, if we're talking about bringing in the voices of people that are the most affected, this is really one of the few programs where, you know, Gabriel San Roman and Sonali Kolhak are really focused on those voices.
All right,
I encourage
all right,
you to support.
All right, thank you very much. Best of luck to you.
Thank you,
we will be following the illustrious career of Aura Bogado as it continues to reach new heights.